Saturday afternoon to you, all within the sound of our voices here on New England, Boston, all the sports originals, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and our fabulous network of affiliates all throughout New England, not to mention taking WEEI and everything fabulous about us with you wherever you want to go, listening whenever you want on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today. You got your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens alongside primetime Shime Time himself, Chris Shime from the Greg Hill Morning Show. We're with you today from 12 p. till sometime a little bit after 3 p.m., at which point we will throw it to coverage of, I believe it is the SEC Championship. Am I not incorrect, Mr. Shime? Georgia versus Texas.
What a game that's going to be. Absolute banger of an SEC Championship game.
You know, I love the fact that the college football schedule, because of the late Thanksgiving and the way the calendar has worked out this year, that the games have scooted a week later, because normally first Saturday in December is reserved for Army-Navy, and that's the end of the college football season. And while that is a grand affair and a fitting tribute to football, America, family, and more, it's nice that December kicks off with an absolute slam-banger Saturday slate of championship games and so much more. And then you get Army-Navy next week. Oh, and then it's just nonstop Saturdays of NFL football, then the college football playoffs, then the NFL playoffs. Pretty much now until the middle of February is a pure fanatical sportsgasm.
It's awesome. You're getting all of the football you could possibly ask for, on top of it being right in the middle of the NBA, NHL seasons. Like, it is, for any sports fan out there, it is the perfect time of year. Even though it's cold outside here in Massachusetts, it is still the best sports time of the year.
And I got to tell you, also with the baseball hot stove kind of getting warm, if not
cooking up a little bit.
It's cooking. I was going to say it's warm to the touch. It might get pretty hot soon. Who knows? You and I could be on the air today. The Soto bomb could drop. We could get the news of Soto making a decision to go one of many different places. Maybe somebody will get eliminated. We'll have to take the rose from them, put them in the car, sadly. They will be the weakest link. They will be told goodbye.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
You are the weakest team. Goodbye. Who knows? So much could happen today on the show. We're happy to have you guys, whether you're outside getting the last of your leaves. Maybe you're doing a little Griswold-style decorating and hanging up them lights. You could be out shopping. In my neighborhood, there's a little bit of a... they do this thing, Shime. It's the most adorable thing. One of the neighborhood moms, she hires a mobile bar, and then she gets a Santa train, which is basically just like a discount little Edaville Railroad kind of thing that can just go around the streets. You get some 19-year-old burnout that used to be a lifeguard who drives it around the neighborhood. All the adults get wristbands. The kids just ride the Santa train, play in the street. They have cookies and hot cocoa. I just ran over there real quick before coming back to my home studio for today's afternoon radio program. Adults are absolutely just hammering them. Find you someone in this life that looks at you the same way all of these suburban moms and dads look at a bottomless Bloody Mary table on
Bloody
a holiday
Mary and a hot toddy. Everybody's cooking.
Just absolutely mainlining mimosa after mimosa.
Maybe some spiked eggnog in there. Just really getting in the spirit.
Absolutely. Had my first one of the season recently as well. I'm not sure what your prep is. I know Andy Hart has tried to make the world fall in love with his maple whiskey eggnog. You know, it's good. It's a maple whiskey with eggnog. I do the yellow Russian. Have you ever had one? Have I ever made you one or told you to make
one? No, you've told me about this, though.
Yes.
Many times.
Greatest holiday drink of all time. It was the recipe was passed down to me. It's not like, you know, this watch traveled, your father wanted you to have it. It's not that great. It's not Homeric tale, this cocktail, but
it's not Christopher Walken handing it down.
No. It was taught to me by a fat guy who's a Bills fan. And you know those people can eat and drink. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Do I have to say horizontally challenged everybody? I apologize. I'm sure I'll get canceled now for fat shaming. A large from the Buffalo area taught it to me. It's eggnog. You just make a Caucasian, if you will, a white Russian, except you swap out the milk or cream for eggnog. Grate a little fresh nutty meg on top, maybe a sprinkle of cinnamon. It is absolute holiday paradise. It's the best.
Yeah, I'm in. I only drink eggnogs like during the week of Christmas, though. Like, I'm it is a very small window for me because any more than that, I get sick of them. And so I have to just have them in a very small window. So it's that week of Christmas.
Right. I'll Christmas slam, Day especially.
Yes, exactly. Especially Christmas Day. I'll probably slam about 15 to 20 in that week and then be done. Never that's touch them again for another year.
It's like working at an ice cream place or a pizza parlor.
Yep.
You get sick
really
of it too
quick. Really put you in the mood.
If you want to dial it back a little bit, and then we'll get into the sports. But it is the holidays, so take it from a couple of guys who have spent a few days tailgating and pregame partying. If you want to dial it back a little bit, almond nog or oat nog are on the table. I wouldn't recommend, but okay. I'm just saying.
Hey, to each their own, whatever floats your boat. I'm not going to argue with it.
And from the world of to each their own comes the latest news. Great segue, Fitzy. Of the coaching carousel, if you will, in the AFC East and beyond. We led in with the audio from Pete Thamel on College Game Day today, talking about this rumor that you want to talk about just like a little sandstorm that has now turned into a full-blown, like, desert-wide storm. It is bananas. Like, it just went from just like a little water water spiral to like an absolute typhoon. Bill Belichick, considering the notion of not pursuing an NFL job, but rather making his way to the college ranks. People keep saying, oh, he's going to go back to school. Yeah, he was in school himself back in the day, but like he's never led a major collegiate program before. Belichick is basically, you know, obviously he's got the great ties to the Naval Academy through his father and his early studies in he being a Wesleyan grad and everything himself, but Belichick is now, like, he took a meeting with University of North Carolina to catch everyone up. They relieved the great Mac Brown of his duties last week. Mac Brown, very special to Drake May.
Bill O'Brien got him fired.
That's right, Billy O. So in a lot of ways, you may have Bill O'Brien to thank for many things in Patriots Nation.
It's true.
Both the offense he led last year that was inept enough with Mac Jones that it landed you Drake May, and then bumping Mac Brown to possibly give Bill Belichick a job so that Patriots fans don't have to go through the emotional glass case of emotion that would be having to root against Belichick or see him try to coach an NFL team against the Patriots and get revenge. I just want to say and then to top it all off, not only was it not a Zoom meeting, he met with North Carolina brass in New York City, as you heard in that little update at the top of the hour. But part of the deal, as reported by Sports Illustrated, Sean,
this is crazy.
Is that this? I love this. You know, he's big, obviously, on the FOBs, the Friends of Belichick, and takes great care of his family. But he wants North Carolina, like, he wants to coach for like a couple of years, get the program on track, set them up for success, and then hand the reins over to Steve Belichick. So instead, this time, it's not, I need total control. I run the war room. You give me the budget. Tell the owner to get out of the way. I am the law. I am the GM. King Kong ain't got nothing on me here at insert name of NFL team. Now it's no. I'll come in. I'll do it. I'll recruit. He's going to have to hit the trail. It's great. His girlfriend can go to grad school.
Or she can be the new cheerleading coach.
Oh, my God. Oh, so many jokes.
But this is exactly what he wanted, right, Fitzy?
Like,
he
always,
all along, he wanted a dynastic succession plan, and it wasn't going to work out in New England because it's just not going to work out in the NFL. I think he realizes that. I think he understands that NFL teams aren't going to give him that, and so he's like, oh, I could get that in college. Maybe and he's probably talked to Steve, and Steve's like, yeah, I love working at Washington. Like, this has been great. I'd love to stay in college football. And so this, to me, makes a lot of sense. It allows Bill to re-enter coaching and try and do something only three coaches in the history of the sport have ever done, which is win a Super Bowl and a national title, being Barry Switzer, Jimmy Johnson, and Pete Carroll.
What company to enter?
I mean, so he could try and do – he can aim for that. That's another accomplishment he can just, you know, notch onto his – championship belt there if he can get there. And then when he's done, he just leaves it to his kid, and he's going to pump that school, whether it's UNC or another school at this point, like, with so much NIL money because he's Bill Belichick.
Yes.
That he is going to set his son up to have one of the best programs in the nation for decades.
They're like, they'll be favored every week, but he'll literally have them nicknamed the underdogs because of how much fantasy money he's going to pump into it. Like,
I think he was just hanging out with the president-elect recently. There's plenty of money over there that he could get.
No kidding. Yeah, instantly, DJT's favorite college team becomes the University of North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yep.
And there's already a lot of North Carolina
merch. And you don't think Michael Jordan would get in on that if Bill Belichick was the coach of UNC?
I am saying to you, Shyam, I am saying to everyone within the sound of our voice, I can't believe how much online snarker, well, because it's, you know, because it's social media and everyone's super brave behind their phone or their keyboard. But how much snark and how much disdain for this possible move there has been from so many football fans, even just saying that we're going to lead off of that today in my pre-show tweet. What's so great about this move? The greatest NFL coach having to lower himself to go to the collegiate ranks.
It's not lowering himself.
It's not. It's not an ACC. It's not an SEC powerhouse. It's not a Big Ten, which is technically the Big 18 now. He's not going to Ohio State or some other program with expectations through the roof. If you think the expectations of the insufferables in Patriots Nation became too much for him or are too much for anyone, you have not listened to a Paul Feinbaum show. Seriously.
You've never experienced SEC football.
We have two sports radio stations that do very well in Boston talking all four sports, mostly Patriots, around the clock because of what Belichick and Brady did. My father-in-law listens to like 15 different University of Michigan shows. They have a shorter season. The problem is regionally, Shyam, because
college football isn't big here.
It's right. And Bill O'Brien is going to do his damnedest to try to actually return BC to its 1980s glory.
Yep.
You know, it may be a Flutie to Phelan-esque miracle to be able to do that. And God bless him. I hope he does, because this season has been easily the most entertaining since Jeff Hafley got to town, if not prior to. But people in New England, I hate to say it, I know Albert Breer got a lot of guff for this a long time ago. The way he said it was kind of obnoxious, but he had a good point, which was people in New England, a lot of people just don't seem to understand.
They don't get it.
LSU football is life. A&M football is life. Cornhusker, Hawkeye, Wolverine, Badger football. This is what these people live, eat, breathe, sleep 24/7, 365 forever. No amount of national championships, college football playoffs,
will ever satiate.
Bowl game appearances or NIL money will ever say. Exactly. It'll never satisfy.
I think there's two things to this, right? I think it's in part Bill wants that dynastic succession plan, but I also think that there's a chance that he recognizes that there's not going to be many jobs in the NFL that necessarily want him. And so he's like, okay, well, if I really do want to get back into coaching, then I have to broaden my horizons a little bit. And the idea of having a place where he can go in, Ninkovich said it on our show, on the Greg Hill show yesterday, like if Bill goes to a school like UNC, it is going to be Deion Sanders on steroids. Like, look at how fast he turned around a Colorado program, how much money he's pumped into that program. Bill Belichick would get that in an instant. And he's a way better coach than Deion is. Like, he's a eight-time Super Bowl champion, technically. Like, it is crazy to think how awesome this would be for college football. I think it would be amazing. And for Patriots fans to not have to worry about him coaching against you anytime soon or ever again.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I would love someone to call up. Our phone number is also our text line. 37937 is no longer, everybody, but 617-779-7937 is your phone number to call in. Talk to us at any point during the show. And you can also use that to text us, and the text will be monitored by producer extraordinaire Big Tom. Now, I know it's Crisafulli, I believe, is the last name. Please mm-hmm. tell me.
Yes.
That's right.
Nailed it.
I got it.
Just call him the Tomcat. He's the Tomcat.
Tomcat, young Tom, college Tom, Tom Crisafulli, whatever. He'll monitor the text line for us during the program as well. I just want someone to call in and just outline the negative. I want someone to call in and show me how and why this is a bad move for Belichick. Imagine if he goes there for 4 years, Shyam, and basically kind of does a Montana to the Chiefs, a Brady to the Buccaneers. Takes a program that's a good one. Like, you know, UNC is usually at the tops or near the tops of the ACC. I know North Carolina State's probably a more prominent program. But he puts the ACC so squarely on the map, rakes in the money. National television appearances out the wazoo for UNC. Maybe they have a massive season. He gets them in the college football playoffs. The money that he would make that program, the triangle region out there, the ACC, college football, to be able to have him marketed, you think the guys on game, what do you think the first college game day would be like next fall if you've got McAfee and Herb Street and the gang down there and Belichick is the head coach and he comes up and Lee Corso makes it one more season, God bless his soul, that place would be insane. And it also happens to be a pretty great school, a pretty good program, a hell of a gorgeous campus. It is just nothing but wins to me. We all would win from Belichick. All of a sudden, you people in New England, now I Andy Harted you, you people in New England, all of us, we would have a second favorite college football team or a third. You love BC, you love your alma mater, and then everybody would root for him at UNC. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either, and I also don't get why he wouldn't want to do it. Like, it makes a lot of sense. Everybody will throw the Shula record at you, but I didn't think that was enough reason for him to come back to the NFL anyways. Like, at this point, like, especially after the last hiring cycle, nobody wanted him. Nobody did. Atlanta kind of did, but he ended up not even getting the job, and so, or being offered the job. And I look at it and I go, oh, this hiring process, I don't think anybody's going to want him either. All those people at the beginning of the season were like, well, if the Eagles stumble, well, if the Bills stumble, yeah, they're both like 10-2 and dominating and look like favorites to reach the conference championship games in the AFC and NFC. So that's not happening. He's not going to go work with Jerry Jones. So what is he going to do? Go be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the crummiest teams in football?
How gross. Like, what a step down for him.
Yeah. Like, that is embarrassing. Like, having to resort yourself or resign yourself to take a job at the absolute bottom of the barrel in the NFL just because you want to try and get some wins record is beneath him. He doesn't need to do that.
That feels like, exactly.
It feels
like stooping. Exactly. This feels like a real legitimate challenge for Belichick.
Yeah. Like, this is a whole new playground for him. It's not, oh, I'm going to go to the, going to just sign with some crappy team just so I can try and get 14 wins over the next, like, three seasons. No, he's going to go to a college program, try and be one of only three other coaches ever to win a national title and a Super Bowl, and try and just pump money in, because you want to know something, too? The players are constantly cycling in and out, which makes it sometimes not easier, because it can be in some ways harder, but easier for him in that, like, I don't have to find the stud quarterback. You can win other ways in college football. Like, J.J. McCarthy wasn't the best quarterback in the nation last year, and Michigan still dominated on their way to a national championship. And that, I think, appeals to Bill Belichick. He knows, oh, I don't need some jackwagon at quarterback. I need to just do what I do great, which is build an amazing defense, give credit to me and my son in the process, and then dominate on my way to the college football playoffs. It makes all the sense in the world.
And they already have some talent there, because you see people like, Tez Walker is the one that was the number one target for Drake May, yes?
Yes, correct. Okay. And Josh Downs before him.
Yep, Josh Downs also doing a great job. Like, he's an excellent receiver for the Colts. Obviously, you see what Drake May is. He may be a bit of an anomalous diamond in the rough.
But even, like, Trubisky was a good college quarterback.
Dude, what would Bill Belichick do with a Belichick defense, Sam Howell, and a good running back Michael Carter?
Yeah.
Dominate. That's what he would do.
They'd be like 12-1.
Yeah. Seriously, folks, do you think Bill Belichick would rather go to the only place in the NFL I can see to forget this Jacksonville nonsense? Please, my God. Jacksonville, just the absolute. It's a dollar store that smells like corn nuts and has a coastline. It is the pits. You do not want to go down there. They're not going to be great. Yes, you can sailgate down there. BFD. That's not where Bill Belichick wants to see his football legacy rest and finish off an incredible career. It's either the Giants or the Raiders. If Brady sells Mark Davis on...
But I don't think Brady's... I don't think he'd work for Brady. Like, I think Brady might
really
be
would work for him, but you know Brady would love to make that move because he knows.
Yeah, so I think Brady would like it, but I don't know that you could sell Bill on it, because Bill, in his mind, he knows Tom's the one that's trying to pitch him and hire him. Like, would Bill really want that? I doubt it. It would be the Giants, but the Giants don't even have a quarterback. They have some fun pieces on defense, which I guess make it somewhat appealing.
And a receiver.
But they have nothing else. They have one offensive lineman, one receiver, and pretty good defense. Like, that's it. And again, they're going to be picking in the top five of the draft this year, and they don't have a quarterback. I don't know that Bill is going to just put himself at that level and be like, yeah, I'm going to try and bring the Giants back to glory. I guess he might. That might be the one appealing option for him. But again, who knows if the Giants are even interested in him?
Imagine this. Saban has probably called him, or they have consulted, and he's probably told you, like, Bill, you want to be a god, you go back to college and you win. You want to get a
especially
second
somewhere
statue?
In the south, in the southeast. Oh my God, It's game over.
The recruits and the commits will start turning tomorrow if he signs on the line that is dotted. I think it would be great. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. I see some of the calls lined up. We will get to you guys and talk Belichick. BB to UNC, are you LFG or NFW? We'll talk about that on the other side. Plus, we'll get into some other AFC East coaching rumors. And the general malaise that is now, unfortunately, during the bye week, covering the Gerard Mayo era. Boy, oh boy. I get it. The guy tries every which way he can to tell people what they want or need to hear and get out from under the cloud of doubt that he has created for himself, Shime, and he just can't seem to avoid it. I hope this charter, this cruise, this trip is not doomed before it really gets off to sea. We'll see about that. We got 3 hours with you here coming up, but first, here's Big Tom, trending now. That's Rich Cimini right there. ESPN New Yorker, I believe, yes?
Correct.
Yeah, he's a frequent guest of the Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast, one of the best Jets covers and follows right there, talking about, believe it or not, folks, the interest Mike Vrabel may very well have taking the HC of the NYJ gig. It would be unthinkable at first for all the reasons Rich outlined, as well as just sort of seeing Mike Vrabel patrolling the sidelines at DeathLife Stadium there in northern New Jersey. But if Woody Johnson wants to pay him a fortune and Vrabel thinks, hey, you know what? Maybe I'm the guy that turns this program around, considering that the Jets, I believe, Shime, if I'm not mistaken, now have the longest playoff drought in the NFL.
Do they really?
I think so.
That's amazing. Yeah, that tracks. The Jets stink. They've stunk for quite a while now. And Mike Vrabel would be a really good hire. He's a guy that shown he can win with not necessarily the best of ingredients as he did in Tennessee. I mean, he was able to get to win playoff games with Ryan Tannehill during the brief Tannessance.
The Tannessance.
We loved it well. But Vrabel was great. He's always been a really good coach, especially in game. I don't think he ever kind of panics. He doesn't make any stupid decisions generally. He's very good about those late game decision making moments. And on top of that, just like, I think he's very good at coaching teams up. Like, he coached that defense up. That Tennessee defense is always stingy with him at head coach, which I think he would be interested in New York. I think that's the one thing that kind of tracks for me, is that there's defensive pieces in New York. You know, you got your Sauce Gardeners of the world, Jermaine Johnsons and stuff. And so, like, there's players on that Jets defense that may be appealing to him. And then he's just like, all right, we'll figure it out on the offensive side. There's weapons on offense for sure. I mean, Davante Adams, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall.
The corpse of Captain Ayahuasca.
If he even stays in New York, right? And that's the thing, is it's like, okay, if Aaron stays, there may be a level of respect there that wasn't with other coaches for Rodgers, just because Vrabel played in the league, was a really good, he's a Super Bowl champion. He played against Rodgers. Like, maybe there's a level of respect there that Rodgers wouldn't normally have with other coaches. And or if Rodgers just isn't even there, and Vrabel, because he has a top 10 pick anyways, is getting a young quarterback to kind of start the franchise with.
Yeah. Quick point on this, and then we'll go to the phones for some people that want to weigh in on the Belichick to UNC topic. The Jets defense, since letting Robert Saleh, the scapegoat,
awful,
go, has been absolute garbage. Like, Ulbrich is in so far over his head, just proving that Robert Saleh, while not maybe the greatest head coach in the NFL, wasn't the problem.
No, he wasn't. Like, he's gonna get a job again pretty quick, I think. Like, I think
he's been an asset to the Packers, helping out their defense, although they had a tough time again. But everyone has a hard time with the Lions.
Yeah, in Detroit, in that dome. But, like, I think if you see the Packers win a playoff game or win a couple, like, I think Robert Saleh's name gets tossed around, especially for a job like that Jaguars job or something like that. I wouldn't be shocked if you hear his name come up relatively quickly.
That's a good brain trust they have there defensively for Green Bay, and I'm not completely out on Green Bay making noise in the NFC playoff race.
It's a good football
team. After the other night. It's a very good football team. Matt LaFleur is an underrated coach. You know how much I love Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs is an absolute that's the running back you pay. That's the kind of running back you pay. That kid is an absolute
stud. Yeah, a guy that can lead the league in rushing yards. The Packers haven't had a guy in the top three in rushing in the league since 2003 with Ahmad Green.
Oh, like, wow. I was going to go Dorsey years. Levins, but it's been Ahmad Green. Man, the day back. Oh, man, I miss those days. Those are good. that was fun football. 617-779-7937 is your number. We're going to be all over the place with NFL stuff. Yes, we will get to your Patriots momentarily as well. But first to the phones, you, the good people of New England and WEEI. Tim on the South Shore down in Hanover wants to talk a little Belichick Tar Heels. What's up, Tim?
Gentlemen, love hearing both you guys on the radio. Hey, I just want to say, I think Belichick's going to be like the Juan Soto deal going to North Carolina. It's going to be a no-go, man. You know what I mean? The thing is, Belichick, he had a legacy in the NFL. I don't think he's going down like Nick Saban, those other guys coming back and forth or doing whatever. I don't think he's doing that, and I don't think he's going to do it for his kid. He's going to want his kid standing on his own like Mike Shanahan and his kid Kyle.
Yeah.
So that's
Tim,
a no-go.
So, Tim, I would just ask, like, he's never been to college before, so it's not like that bouncing back and forth thing. This is an entirely new endeavor he would undertake. Like, I don't think that would be a reason why he wouldn't be going down. I mean, Saban went back down to college football and was the greatest college coach of all time.
Yeah, Nick Saban, yeah, but then he popped up to the NFL, and it just wasn't for him. It didn't happen.
Yeah, then he came back down to Alabama and kicked ass for years.
Oh, no, I love Saban. I think Saban was unbelievable, and he's probably the best college coach in my eyes in the college ranks. But here's the other deal, too. I just wanted to say that I think Drake May has been taking a little bit too much heat on not being well. And you know me, I wasn't a May guy, but I'll tell you what, I think he's had a great year. I mean, he's not like spectacular, but once he gets the guys in place, I want to see this kid get some help and see how real good he could be in the future, man.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
And we've got a couple texts about this too. Like, it would be embarrassing if Bill really would take a college job just to set his kid up.
Are we kidding?
Did you guys
watch?
Why
is that beneath him? Hold on.
Has anybody watched what he did the last decade in New England? Like, that's exactly what he was trying to do. He was promoting his son. I think Devin McCourty on these very airwaves said to us the first time Steve was the safeties coach, he walked into the room and said, "Guys, I have no idea what I'm doing." Like, I'm not going to quote Devin McCourty on that, but I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said on the Greg Hill Show one morning. But Steve learned, and he wanted to learn, and he wanted to get better, and he did. And I mean, Bill put all his sons
like
on his
D-Mac to run the room to help almost teach Steve how to.
And now Steve can stand on his own and coach a decent defense in Washington, made them better than last year, at least with less talent. And so, like, of course, Bill would be open to doing this. Like, he doesn't care if it's embarrassing for his son, and I don't know that Steve cares either. Like, I think he likes coaching with his dad, and then the opportunity to then be a head coach in college football would be very appealing. And it's something that the college game would allow where the NFL game wouldn't.
I would just imagine if Bill and Steve do post-game pressers together, and you have to close your eyes and you have to pick which one is Bill and which one is Steve.
Oh, it'd be great.
I need more Steve Belichick memes on TV. Like, wouldn't that be great, right? UNC is in the ACC championship game, and I get Steve, like, touching his nose with his tongue again, like, doing, like, the crazy tongue waggles and the crazy meme pictures. I need all of that, and I don't get that from him being in Washington.
Do you have any idea? Like, I just don't – I really cannot see this is – that's beneath – okay, really – Would people listening right? Well, first of all, a lot of them are probably still like, there's a chance they'll get rid of Mayo and bring Bill back. It's not going to happen. You know, who was it who did that? Chad Finn did that little piece in the Boston Globe this week saying, okay, let's play a little bye week game because there really ain't much more else to talk about with this iteration of the Patriots, but we'll still find a way between now and 3:30. He played that little game. Okay, Pats fans, you can either have Belichick back or you stick with Drake May. Which way are you going to go?
The obvious answer,
it was Drake May.
100% of the time.
With no disrespect to the greatest coach in your franchise, if not the NFL's hit storied history, or one of the greatest.
Hasn't had much success without Tom Brady, to be completely fair. Or Lawrence Taylor.
To be completely fair, the two greatest players in the sport.
Like, yes, I will take Drake May. Thank you.
So, honest to God. It's like people, Shine, people sort of like just develop an opinion on something, and then they never back to, yeah, hi, Fitzy. I'd like to introduce you to a place called New England. Have you ever been here
before?
Well,
so I just think it's unfair, too. Like, the people that, it was probably not a great business decision to fire Bill and hire a guy who has never coached at this level or at any level as a head coach ever before, and only been a coach for 5 years. Like, he was very inexperienced when you hired him. He was very green. He was going to be learning on the job. And if you wanted to be a successful football team this season, it may not have been the best decision right away. However, you cannot let that cloud you from the fact that Bill has not been good or was not good with the Patriots post-Tom Brady or even pre-Tom Brady. He just hadn't been. There was no track record of him having success. And so, like, moving on from Bill had to be done. As upsetting as it is and as much of it was an end of an era, like, it was something that was essential. And now we are where we are, and we have to kind of make do with what we've got. Just like I would say to Gerard Mayo in the middle of a football game, yeah, Joey Sly didn't hit that field goal at the end of the half. So that means you can't just, like, turtle up with 7 minutes left. You actually have to go and try and score points to make sure you win the football game. It's just, people need to stop living in the past and realize what's done is done, and then move forward and figure out what the right way to move forward is.
But they can't.
No,
they
no
refuse
one can.
To. No, in the minds of so many, and this.
And
is
I get
not,
yelled
again,
at for being the spoiled Patriots fan for almost.
Yeah, you represent everything
years.
That's awful about these
Idiots.
New fans that don't understand history and can't appreciate everything. We understand.
We should have just banged our head against the wall, brought Bill back, and only won 5 games this year.
How much better is this team this year with Belichick? One or two games with the absolute dearth of talent that they have? Probably 2 games better, maybe tops.
Yes.
But last year, they were healthier on defense, and they still went 4-13.
And Fitzy, that's assuming he drafts Drake May. If Bill is here, zero chance. There's no guarantee he drafts Drake May, and if he doesn't, this team is not better than it was last year. The only redeeming quality of this football team right now is the play of your young rookie quarterback. That's it. And so without that guy, you're looking at a season that would have been an absolute waste.
Your quarterbacks this year would have been Flacco and Rattler, which is also the name of our new weekend show. Come on.
It would have been an absolute nightmare of a football season.
I don't get it. You know, we know the guy knows everything there is about football, and just think about how his reputation, his knowledge, his presence, his cachet, all of that at the collegiate level, something he's not done before, versus staying in the pro game, having to spend 18 hours a day game planning, reviewing film, versus having to spend way less time being he's in his 70s. He deserves to be lionized. He deserves to be exalted for all of his incredible accomplishments and his reputation. He would be an absolute powder blue god down there at UNC. I would love to see him get his just due while also still having fun again. There would be a whole new sense of energy and purpose for it. And people regionally are underrating this legacy factor for him. The idea that he could help set Steve up and that he's helped teach him how to coach. You know, honestly, Mayo probably would have benefited from that, and maybe we can get into that on the other side in just a minute after we catch a break. But Mayo, I think, would have benefited from that significantly, getting a chance to be set up someplace so that by the time he could take over for the Patriots, he would be a little more seasoned. He would be more experienced. This whole learning on the fly thing and basically, you know, being a co-pilot on Cessnas and then being handed the joystick on an Airbus A380 just mid-flight is bananas to me.
I also think it kind of opens an interesting angle as well, just knowing that, okay, so Bill clearly would like to set up his son for success. How much did it piss off Belichick if he actually knew that Robert really wanted to hire Gerard Mayo post-Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. that the Crafts never considered his son? And how much would that have infuriated Bill and created even more chaos than there already was in that building, and been one of the reasons why maybe Bill had zero interest in helping Gerard Mayo learn as a coach and be a better coach, and why Gerard Mayo wasn't the play caller on defense, and it was mm-hmm. Steve Belichick. I think that all becomes quite interesting to reflect on as well.
And even though there is a deep friendship, supposedly, and a good relationship between Mayo and Steve Belichick, maybe the whole entire idea that he would never get a chance to be a head coach and he couldn't help orchestrate a succession plan like that. You know, Mike Vrabel coming to town for a while and then Steve being his defensive coordinator. There could have been a million different ways they could have gone about this.
Sure.
Obviously, it's just, folks, it's flat out a mess now, and it's going to take a long time to get out from under it or to at least try to get things right. All right, so Vrabel could be maybe interested in the Jets job. Belichick could be going back to college. And as for Jerod Mayo, how does he get out of this? And do we really believe that he's going to be that much better as he says he's going to be come year two after he gets through this very difficult, more turbulent than expected year one as the HC of the NEP? 617-779-7937 is your number. It's Fitzy and Shime with you, talking football and more here on a beautiful, crisp late fall Saturday on EEI. Jerod Mayo on the most recent Patriots Talk podcast with Tom E. Curran on NBC Sports Boston. You are tuned in to the Fitzy and Shime program here on WEEI and all across the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Shime, do we feel like Jerod Mayo at this point now? I mean, it feels so early to kind of already have to cast him off into this pit of doubt. But there is just so much fan-based frustration, so much lingering doubt over his ability to evolve and grow as a coach. And I know you and I went back and forth about this a little bit on Thursday night, but it bears revisiting. Do you feel like at this point he can totally turn the ship around depending on the draft, free agency class, and his own evolution? Or do you feel like at this point he's teetering on doomed?
It doesn't feel great to me, to be completely honest. Like, I think the team can get better talent-wise, but, again, I don't think he's largely responsible for that. I think that falls more on Elliot Wolf in the front office. But I look at it, I don't feel like I've seen proper evolution out of him this year. I feel like all we've gotten is kind of, like, maybe he's learned a little bit in the media, like saying things and then immediately walking them back. But on the football field, it doesn't look like he's learning much at all, like ever. It just constantly feels like he is being conservative when he needs to be aggressive, being aggressive when he should have been conservative, and just not really understanding the moment. And I don't know if he is or isn't learning. It doesn't look like it, at least to me, game over game. Maybe there's some more learning in the offseason, but I don't know, man. I'm not super confident in his ability to kind of move forward from this.
And I think my main hesitation comes from just not knowing exactly what kind of coach he is. Like, I know obviously he spent his entire football career, college, pros, and then being a defensive assistant in the pros on the defensive side of the ball. That's great. We know he prefers defense. We know he has left the offense in the hands of Alex Van Pelt. There was the story that went around about how he used to say in meetings back when he was working with Steve Belichick and Bill Belichick was head coach, that he would kind of give the offense the business and say, we got everything buttoned up on this side of the ball, coach. You know, defense is good. And I don't know about you guys. And obviously offense was far from great last year. I don't really worry about that. I just, the whole entire, like, constantly worrying about what he said and how it's being perceived and the blowback and reaction he's gotten from it. You said on Thursday that you think it's not uncommon, or at least we speculated a bit, that it's not uncommon for coaches, especially new coaches, to have the post-game diatribes and meetups and review sessions with ownership, which he's going through. You know, I think a lot of people think the organization is in charge overall and that he is just basically a puppet for the corporation. And it makes me feel that save a phenomenal stretch run to get people excited about Drake May in the 2025 season, a killer free agent class, and a Detroit Lions 2021 draft, that people are still just going to cross their arms, sit back in their chair at the restaurant and say, prove it, Mayo. I don't buy it. Like, the Belichick blowback that he's receiving right now, I think that in his own inability to cast his own mold as a head coach is just damning him in front of the eyes of the very fans that were hoping that maybe he would be the next thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was put in a really crummy situation to begin with,
sure.
Right? Like, it's just the team's so bad. He had zero experience. They kind of tossed him to the wolves. And I don't think the Crafts really did him any favors in that. Like, they didn't put a ton of experience around him to help him through this process. And I think you're seeing the results of that. And so, unfortunately, I don't have the confidence that it's going to work out here. I still think Jerod Mayo could be a good NFL head coach, and there may be an opportunity for him somewhere down the road, but, man, I'm not hopeful about it happening here, and I don't like to be like this negative. Like, this is not, mm-hmm. I'm not the one of those diehard Belichick guys. It's like, oh, you never should have gotten rid of Belichick in the first place. And like, what is this bum doing taking his job? Like, that's, I gave Mayo a chance, and I feel like I've been pretty reasonable in that. And like, I've mm-hmm. given him time, and you know, we're 13 games through the season, 14 games through the season, whatever it is. And I haven't seen the progress out of him that I would have liked to see.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at some of the other rookie head coaches. Brian Callahan is obviously struggling.
Yeah, but he's made progress. Like, the second half, like, the beginning of the year was tough for Tennessee, but that defense has been really good. Will Levis, since he kind of came back from that injury, has been serviceable, like a legitimate NFL quarterback. And I think,
and look at what Dave Canales is doing all of a sudden in Carolina now.
I mean, Bryce Young looks awesome the last couple weeks. Literally, like, why he was drafted in the first round, awesome. And so, those guys, to me, are showing signs of progress, and that's what I'm not getting from Mayo. I'm not seeing any progress with his coaching and with his team. Like, the only person that's progressing at all on this football team is Drake May. That's it. It seems like Christian Gonzalez has just been steadily good, and then Drake May has improved, and that's it. Like, that is the extent of the improvement on this team.
617-779-7937, your telephone and text line to get into WEI and the Fitzy and Shime Show. Like, what do we do with the honor? My goodness gracious. In this economy, on the afternoon show, we get a call from Danny from Quincy? What a delight.
Well, I apologize because to the listeners, they have to listen to me two times in one day. I never do it. But I had to respond to Shime's just dissing of Bill Belichick. Nothing before Brady, nothing after Brady. How old were you when they beat the Rams in 01, Shine?
I was 9.
How old were you?
I was 9.
You're 9 years old. Okay, first of all, the reference to, you know, no coach can win a Super Bowl without a great player. Okay, you mentioned the linebacker for the Giants. I'm sorry. That performance he had against the Bills with Parcells, no other coach could do that. Lawrence Taylor. Okay, tell me what coach in the NFL could ever win a Super Bowl without a superstar on either side of the ball. That performance against the Rams, Brady wasn't even Brady, and they put up one offensive touchdown in that game. No other team, no other coach could put up that defensive game plan against the Rams, the greatest show on turf. He did it again to the Rams in 08 in 2018, and the two back-to-backs, that was a collaborative effort. Good coaching. Brady wasn't even Brady back then.
Jeez.
Don't give me that crap about friggin' nothing with, nothing without.
Yeah.
It's crap.
Hey, Danny,
it's
Danny.
It's a lazy argument.
Danny, what's his record without Tom Brady?
That's a lazy argument. It's anecdotal.
Hold on. It's not
anecdotal.
Lazy.
I just gave you the example.
It's not. No, you're anecdotally. You're performing anecdotally here, Danny. There is a much larger.
I'm taking it case by case. You're taking it general.
No,
look,
you're
what
taking.
They did.
Hold on. Danny, hold on. You are taking it with like 3 or 4 games here. I'm taking it multiple years without Tom Brady on the roster. Multiple years. It's not just one time. It's not just one game. It's not just one season. There have now been multiple. 3 seasons post Tom Brady, seasons before Tom Brady, seasons in Cleveland where it was just an absolute disaster. So, again, I'm not being anecdotal here with my summation of Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. He has been nothing. He has won literally nothing without Tom Brady or Lawrence Taylor. Nothing. And it's the truth.
And Andy Reid's nothing without Mahomes. We didn't win anything with Mahomes.
You're right. I agree.
He gets his ass kissed more than anybody. Give me a break.
I never said Brady, you're wrong. Andy Reid has won nothing without Mahomes. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's right. They would. Okay. And in the 07 Super Bowl, the offense put up 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns when Brady laughed at Plaxico Burress.
And
they put up.
And Bill Belichick couldn't
touchdowns.
Stop Eli Manning
that's
from
it.
Beating him twice.
Give me a friggin' 1 offensive touchdown in the first Super Bowl against the Rams. No other coach in the history of the NFL could ever put up that defensive game plan that Bill Belichick did against the Rams both times. Both friggin' times.
Yeah, Danny, I disagree. Yeah, and without Tom Brady, he doesn't win any of these games. So it doesn't really matter.
You, I can't believe you're saying that. It's a team sport, you idiot.
Yes,
you're
I am aware. Yeah, who drove them down the field in under 2 minutes?
Sport.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, Danny. Danny, how is
without Ty Law and again Mike Vrabel clocking out one of them?
It's so great. He brings up the second Rams Super Bowl. Do you know what happened in the AFC Championship game? Tom Brady needed to score like 40 points to beat Patrick Mahomes. Because
three friggin' points. And in the 19, they won their first eight games, and Brady was he had a puss on his face a mile long. And then he's got the nerve to say earlier, a couple of weeks ago, it's unfair for any one player to be above the team. And he was above the team when they won eight straight. A guy that says that it is so difficult to win in the NFL. You know, people don't realize how difficult it is. They went eight in a row after winning a Super Bowl. And that guy was a puss face.
All right, Danny.
I appreciate the call, Danny, but I can't
let a call go longer than 3 minutes.
It is.
And that's already maybe
This is the issue, Fitzy.
Hold on. Yeah, great. But state your final case, then. I just want to sort of.
I wanted to see if
we could make it through all of Run Rudolph while you guys are arguing.
I get accused of being anecdotal, and yet he's the one picking individual games like the second Rams Super Bowl where they won 17-3. Yeah, the game before that was the AFC Championship game, which Tom Brady needed to outduel Patrick Mahomes because Belichick couldn't stop him if he wanted to. He could have had Lawrence Taylor out there, and he still wasn't stopping Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I will say this. The crazy thing is you're gonna accuse me of ordwaying or trying to be a host that's placating all parties, as I thought that was actually just going to be a little bit of a Danny call defending Belichick vis-a-vis going to college and what he would bring to the UNC table, not re-legislating all of the Belichick accomplishments during the double dynastic run. Yes, in large part, Super Bowl 36 was a Bill Belichick production featuring such players as Ty Law, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, Willie McGinest, J.R. Redmond, Tom Brady, and of course, the most important co-star of that given night, Adam Vinatieri. That said, in the AFC Championship in January of 2019, Belichick's defense absolutely dominated the Chiefs in the first half. You could not figure out how to stop Van Noy and Hightower. They dominated them.
Yeah, but
in
the second half, didn't he give up like 40
points? The second half,
points?
The levy broke. Also, he went for like 20-something points.
Yeah.
The levy broke for sure. The refs may not have had a little something to do with that, but Belichick is one of the only people that's ever been able to bottle up Patrick Mahomes on multiple occasions. And as far as Super Bowl 53 goes, the Rams went into that game with the 11th best offense in the history of the NFL, and Belichick's defense, which admittedly was partially cribbed from a game plan that Matt Patricia on the Lions had put together against them. He called him for notes. Obviously, they're friends because Matt Patricia sends Belichick the questions on the Manning cast, as we saw on his Gmail printout recently. That defensive game plan, which they even took a few minutes in the Dynasty docuseries on Apple to highlight as masterful and brilliant, was largely a Belichick game plan.
And he had great moments. I don't disagree with that. Belichick was a great coach. Like, I've never once argued that he wasn't. It was just, my thing is Belichick without Brady doesn't get you anywhere. This franchise, without Tom Brady, has never won 12 games in a season. Never without Tom Brady. Not once in its entire, since its inception, has never won 12 games in a single season without Tom Brady on the football field. So, like, that's my ultimate point. Like, Bill Belichick has not won anything without Tom Brady. And yes, he's had great game plans. If you want to point to certain games, that's awesome. I respect the hell out of it. But then you can also point to games like that AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, like the Super Bowl against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Defense wasn't so good there, was it? And your choice to sit
now, Ernie Adams. Apparently, Ernie Adams was sideways angry at halftime with how bad the defense was.
Yeah, and I don't doubt it. I would have been too. Yeah, Tom Brady had to throw for 500 yards,
and still
couldn't win the football game.
Hey, the best, you know, the Patriots punted zero times in the second half. They had over 600 yards of offense and lost.
Insanity. So, like, you can cherry pick great Bill Belichick performances, and he is an exceptional game planner. I've never said he wasn't. But, like, at the same time, you can also recognize that without Tom Brady on the football field, Bill Belichick has won diddly squat.
Well, it's not like we're talking about open heart surgery here.
Hey, it's not rocket science.
Nah,
wind's blowing in from the northwest. You know, you got to make sure you kick the ball so that the wind ball adjusts to the wind. You just got to do it right.
I feel like what we witnessed over those 20 years, which was so far out of the realm of reality, has sort of like screwed up our ability to sort of remember things correctly and process the way things will be going forward or anything that'll be different. I wonder if we're just not doomed for the next 20 years to argue over, you know, who was more. I mean, we just keep doing it. We've now like we're 5 years into who was more responsible, Brady or Belichick. It doesn't sound like it's going to stop anytime soon. And it's baffling. It's truly baffling to me how we all just can't agree that every part of the car, like, what's the most important part? Is it the alternator? Is it the battery? Is it the brakes? Is it the gear shaft? I mean, what is it? Like,
y'all gonna work in unison.
It all has to work together.
But without
in
the key, it doesn't start.
Oh God. All right, I'm going to go hit that mimosa cart down the street real quick on the commercial break. Hour number two of the Fitzy and Shine program. We're here with you till 3:30 before the SEC championship. Don't miss a moment. You never know when a Danny from Quincy is going to call in and stir things up here on EEI.